You don't want to kill me. I'm your best friend. Besides, who's gonna give you a reach around?
All right, let's get going.
Today, we're gonna do something a little bit different. This is making the case for Mr. Leto or
breaking the case. Make or break, JL.
Obviously, there are a lot of detractors for Mr. Jared Leto's Joker. This is very public knowledge. It's not a secret. I think that on this show today, and I might be wrong, I'm just guessing, I think that we have one person that really, really loves Leto's Joker, one person that might really, really hate Leto's Joker, and then someone that might be somewhere in the middle. So we'll start off with this. The first appearance that he made in the Suicide Squad, or actually it was Suicide Squad, not the Suicide Squad, not to mix those two up.
David Ayer's Suicide Squad.
Yes. At that time when the film first came out, and even, you know, a year or two after it had already been out, I really appreciated what Leto did with the character. I thought that he was going for a little bit of Cesar Romero, a little bit of something completely different, like a gangsta version of the Joker, you know, something, you know, Joker with the grill. A lot of aspects I liked about the character. One thing I didn't like, though, was, tattoo that was on his forehead, that was a little too much on the nose, if you will. I didn't mind him having tattoos, period, but I just thought that a few of the tattoos, especially the one right across on his forehead that said damaged, was...
I've never tried to do that tattoo on my forehead. And as you know, I've done Leto.
Yes, we have a cosplayer joining us, and he is dressed as Leto several times before. What do you think, Joker's Anarchy, about the Leto interpretation? Just talking, we're not getting too far into the future yet. We're just talking about him in Suicide Squad.
Okay, well, I have to preface this with the fact that Suicide Squad is my favorite comic book of all time. When it came out in 1987, there had been nothing like it before, and it blew me away. So when I heard they were going to do a Suicide Squad movie, I was all in. I was super excited. Even though the studio did a lot of meddling, I love that movie. And I've been criticized for it. I have a son that's a film major. He loves to give me a hard time about how much I love that movie. Now, Jared Leto's performance, I liked it. At first, I had to pause for a second. I'm like, okay, this is not any Joker that I know. This doesn't even look like any comic book versions of the Joker that I really know. All In might be a little hard, might be a little too strong, but I wasn't hating it.
I think that that's fair.
Not really a huge fan of Jared Leto in general, so it was... A little difficult. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of his Joker at all.
Don't be afraid to take a crap on it.
Yeah, go for it, dude. Hey, I didn't even know who Jared Leto was by name until that movie. When I went back, I'm like, oh, that's the dude that got beat up in Fight Club.
Also the dude that's in 30 Seconds to Mars, which is a great band.
Correct.
Right. And I knew the band, but I didn't even know he was in it. I'm almost a boomer, dude. Come on.
I feel like he tries to do the Joker from, man, I don't remember the name of the comic book, but it's like told through one of his like lackey's eyes, and the Joker's like a mob boss almost.
There was the one that came out in 2008 after The Dark Knight that seemed through the lackey's eye, but that character is more like Heath Ledger's. There's so many versions of it in the comics. I don't know.
I don't know if I like the gangsterized version of the Joker much. I like more of that like chaos, but also too, it wasn't really fair because we didn't really get to see much of him. We didn't really get the chance for him to develop. So the pieces that I saw, I didn't really like personally.
Yeah, I thought that there was a lot of potential there. That's what I liked the most about it. And at that time, the DCEU was trying to build their universe up to rival the MCU. We all know how that turned out. But at the time,
yeah, you
know, I thought compared to Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, this is not so bad, you know?
That was
definitely.
There were some things that he did that I didn't like just some of his mannerisms or the things that he would say or do or how he would say those things. But for the most part, like I said, I thought there was a lot of potential there. I appreciated the studio trying to do something different. But then we get the post-credit scene from the Snyder Cut. And I don't know what he was trying to do there, but it seemed like such a bad parody of the Joker. I mean, it was just really, and this is all opinion, this is my opinion, but it was awful what we saw from him in that post-credit sequence in the Snyder Cut. Personally, that's kind of where I'm at with that. There was nothing likable about the character in the way that he was laughing, the way he was talking. It was just bad. But there's different opinions, and let's hear what Mr. Joker's Anarchy has to say about that interpretation of Jared Leto's Joker.
Oh, yeah, this is where we part ways, dude. Because after I saw that, the look and the attitude, it was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do Jared Leto now. I hadn't done Jared Leto until I decided to do Nightmare Joker. I'm not going to call myself a Snyder bot, but I am a fan of his work. I loved it. I thought it was just so off the wall and so crazy. And then the whole idea of him and Batman teaming up is like, oh yeah, let's go, man. Let's do this. After that, I started playing Nightmare, and then I started doing the other versions of him as well.
See, everyone's got a different opinion.
Yeah.
And all film is subjective. Just because someone doesn't agree with him or me or whatever doesn't mean that you're wrong. We all take in films differently. What do you think, Angela?
I think I'm with Joker's Anarchy on this. That's what got me to be like, man, if they do more of this Nightmare stuff, I'm in for this. I like the way that him and Batman talk to each other in that scene, that I was like, yeah, this is what I want. I want more of this.
Sure.
I know, dude, totally.
It was cool to see Batman say that I'll kill you, you know, even though I didn't like Batman dropping the F-bomb, that didn't feel like a Batman thing to me.
It feels a little pushed, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like I said, everyone's got a different opinion. And sure, the idea of seeing a film with a story like that is exciting. But is it exciting coming from Snyder? I don't know. Who, the same Snyder who ruined Batman versus Superman, in my opinion. But the same Snyder that gave us Man of Steel, which, you know, this is controversial, but that's still in my top five superhero movies of all time. I actually liked how at that time DC was trying to separate themselves a little bit and making themselves a little bit more gritty and dark versus the MCU. I thought it was kind of refreshing to see a different take. But, you know, there was a lot of things that Snyder did that I did not like Batman versus Superman. And, you know, sure, his Snyder cut of the Justice League was an improvement, but, you know, it was like improving a turd on the ground. I mean, there's not really, you know, even if you improve it, there's still not much to like there. So, but that's me.
Yeah, Man of Steel is a great movie. You know, when I saw Dawn of Justice in the theater, I didn't really like it a whole lot. But after I got the director's cut and I watched that, it felt like it made sense then. And then as for Zack Snyder's Justice League, that's actually probably one of my favorite comic book movies. Right up there with his Watchmen. Those are two of my favorite comic book movies.
His Watchmen was really good. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. For me, that's how Snyder is. He's really hit or miss. Just like with Rebel Moon, Sucker Punch. His misses really, really, really miss. But his
Yeah, I wasn't really into Rebel Moon. I mean, it was okay. But it's like, I don't know if I really want to watch the extended versions of it. It's like, I think I got something else to do for 3 hours. And like I said, I'm an ally with Snyder bots, you know. Release a Snyder cut. Restore the Snyderverse, sir. Do I want to watch 3 hours of Rebel Moon? Not really.
Ultimately, and this might be controversial, but I think that ultimately the DCEU getting canned was the right call. Because we were at the point where The Flash came out and it was a flop. Blue Beetle came out, it was a flop. Aquaman came out, following up a $1 billion first Aquaman, and it was a flop. I mean, at that point, all DCEU films were flopping. You take a movie like Batman versus Superman, and it made like $600 million, which for a movie like that, like an epic team up featuring two of the most well-known superheroes of all time, and it made $600 million? What? I think
Suicide Squad made more money than that, didn't it? I think it made like $800.
I think you're right, but I'm not sure. I'll throw those numbers up in post, but yeah, I think that it was the right decision to reboot. As much as I hate to see Henry Cavill leaving, because Henry Cavill is the greatest Superman of all time to me. He had the build for it. He was a great actor. The guy is a unit. That's my favorite Superman.
Me too.
Even Gal Gadot. I thought she was an amazing Wonder Woman.
Yeah, sure was.
But Ben Affleck's Batman, right? I got him right here on the shelf. That might be my favorite Batman. But
yeah, they had a fantastic cast for the DCEU. I mean, there's not many misses there when you look at casting. Momoa, Roby. Well, I guess somebody doesn't probably like Leto, but that's another story.
Yeah,
Leto. I even love their Deadshot, okay? Even Will Smith being Deadshot, I thought that was really good. And actually, Deadshot is actually my favorite comic book character. And they had Will Smith play him and totally changed him. And I was okay with it.
There was a lot of hits there, but then there was also probably more misses. Like with Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, you know, there was all that infighting at the studio with DCEU and, you know, and the whole thing with getting rid of Snyder. And then they were like, oh, maybe we're going to bring Henry Cavill back at the end of Black Adam, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody's happy. And then it's like, nah, we're going to bring Gunn in instead. I have no idea where that's going to go, but we'll see.
Black Adam, at first, I didn't have that much of a problem with The Rock being Black Adam. But the more I stewed on it and the more that I saw the film, I was like, yeah, this really didn't work out that
way. Yeah, I don't know what I think of that, really. I guess I didn't hate it. I thought it was good for the numbers. He's a pretty big star. But his performance, I mean, I guess it was fine. It wasn't spectacular, though. You know, I guess when you're doing a character like Black Adam that nobody knows, you got to get somebody like The Rock to do him, I guess.
The problem with The Rock is he plays The Rock in like everything that he's in. He doesn't really play a character, so it's kind of hard to make it believable. It's like this is just The Rock in a superhero suit.
Right.
And it only made $400 million, which when you go back to Marvel films, the MCU, up until a point, averaged $1 billion per film, which is insane. They're not quite at $1 billion per film now. Their totals have dipped, especially with films like The Marvels and other stuff that's come out recently. But, you know, you had movies like Black Adam making $400 million. Then, like I said, The Flash with Michael Keaton coming back.
Oh, I know, dude. There is so much potential there. Michael Keaton is my Batman. Okay, I love Christian Bale. I love Ben Affleck. But, man, I saw Batman in the theater three times, okay? Yeah. So that's just say enough right there.
When it first came out, it was the coolest thing ever. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's the Batman we've been waiting on.
If you had to rate Jared Leto's Joker, we're combining the Nightmare version with the Suicide Squad version and melding them together. If you had to give that version of the Joker a rating on a scale of 0 to 10, where would you put him at? I'll start.
Oh, man.
To make it a little bit easier for you guys. I think that overall, especially when combining that awful Nightmare version that I was just talking about earlier, it probably brings the total for me personally to a 4. Obviously, Heath Ledger's the greatest of all time. Jack Nicholson's an icon and a legend. Joaquin Phoenix is an amazing Joker as well. We've had a lot of really good Jokers. Cesar Romero, you know, it was kind of in that universe, in that world.
So I think that's a matter of it being so long ago, really.
Yeah, he gets
a pass. Romero, you know.
That was
before the comics got dark in the 70s with Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill writing them.
That's kind of where I'm at. What do you guys think?
I think it's better than that. Probably 5.5, maybe a 6.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I'll take the big leap there. I'm not scared. I mean, there's a reason I cosplay him, right?
Right.
And, well, the only reason I don't do Nicholson is because, you know, the mouth. You know, I can never do that. I could do something about the prosthetic, but, you know, that would be cool to do. But, you know, I don't. But I do. I've done Leto, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 times. So
I don't know much about cosplaying, but I feel like you could just take a piece that could kind of like bend and go against your face and just, I don't know. But would that look good, or maybe it would? I don't know.
Probably not. I'm sure there's something on YouTube I could look at and do it. But like, I haven't even tried to do Heath Ledger's prosthetic. So I just kind of do my own thing usually. This is like the closest thing I do to one that's actually in the movies, because it's so easy to do.
It looks good.
Thanks.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm going to have to give him a 3 out of 10. It's like,
Ooh, that's better than I thought. I'll take it.
Well, when we said add the Nightmare version, like that is the one I want to see. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I can do a 3. The only movie I really like Jared Leto in is in the Dallas Buyers Club with McConaughey. I thought he was excellent in that movie.
But yeah, I mean, you won an Oscar for it, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was Leto till the end of the movie anyways. So, you know, like you said, there is potential there. There was potential there. But we have so many other good Jokers out there that, like, he's way at the bottom of the list. Even for myself, my favorite Joker of all time is Mark Hamill. He'll always be my favorite.
I know a lot of millennials that like that.
I'll argue up and down. Mark Hamill is my favorite forever, probably.
We need to do like an old man Joker and bring him in.
Yeah.
We do old man Bruce and then an old man Joker, and Hamill could be the Joker.
That would be awesome.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Of Hamill in general. I don't even like him as Luke Skywalker. Whenever I see him playing the trickster or the Joker, it's all just the same character to me. But just like The Rock, like you talked about earlier, I feel like Mark Hamill's Joker, trickster, whatever, it's all the same. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize that Mark Hamill had been the Joker until like the 2000s.
Yeah,
and my kids were like, Dad, didn't. You didn't know that? I'm like, no. I didn't know he was doing that. I wasn't watching it. I was just sitting there while you were watching it.
Well, guys, thanks so much for joining me. Make sure you check these guys out on their social medias. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok at Real Comic Book Cinema, Facebook. You can find us in podcast format. Wherever you find us, we thank you so much. And until next time, have a good one.